Well, over the weekend, United States Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has said that Washington will agree to lift the harsh economic sanctions imposed upon North Korea if Kim Jong-un completely dismantles their nuclear program. Steps towards denuclearization are well underway, with the dismantlement of the Punggye-ri nuclear test site scheduled for later this month. Ollie Henderson asked North Korean expert and visiting fellow at the Australian University, Dr. Leonid Petrov, what brought about the decision to dismantle the nuclear testing site.
Well, it's a very good, positive development. It's a very constructive proposal, but I think it has been already done. The testing site in Punggye-ri, where North Korea has detonated a number of nuclear devices, is already destroyed. The most recent explosion, which was last year, the 3rd of September 2017, was allegedly a thermonuclear explosion, and it actually detonated with such power. It's not clear exactly how much. The experts say that something between 100 and 60 kilotons or 320 kilotons, but anyway, even the mountain which harbored the tunnels where North Koreans experimented with their nuclear devices has been completely wiped out.
Wow, that sounds like quite an ordeal to clean up that. So what will be happening later this month? Is it just a ceremony?
Well, if you talk about the official closure of the nuclear testing site, yes, it is a symbolic gesture from the North Korean government preceding the historic meeting between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, and as a sign of sincerity and the gesture of concrete decision, the cabinet decided that to completely shut down the testing site. They say that the new era of peace and prosperity is starting, and there's no need and no place for the weapons of mass destruction. And I think North Korea is trying to send a very strong message in the inter-Korean dialogue and also the forthcoming dialogue with the American leader that North Korea is sincere about what it is doing. And for the matter of practicality, the site in Punggye-ri is not usable anyway. So North Koreans probably wouldn't invest much into closing the site except for the inviting journalists. And altogether, North Korea is now not just freezing the future experimentations, but is ready to completely give up on the know-how of nuclear weapons. And I think this is the first but very important step in this direction.
Is this move away from nuclear a response to the sanctions that have been put on by the international community?
Well, the international sanctions have been imposed against North Korea since 67 years ago when the Korean War started. And since then, the sanctions were tightened periodically. And the most restrictive regime on sanctions started last year when China and Russia joined the sanctions in earnest, being very afraid of nuclear and rocket experimentations, which North Korea pursued last year. So North Korea understands that the sanctions really bite as long as Russian and Chinese borders are closed, or at least they're filtering with much more scrutiny the goods which are exported or imported by North Korea. So North Korea is found itself in a very difficult situation, whether it's going to either starve to death or if it continues its experimentation and development of weapons of mass destruction, is going to die as a result of preemptive strike. The people of North Korea now welcome the new initiative of the North Korean leadership to focus on economy rather than on economy and military development.
It also looks like the U.S. might be focusing on economy building in North Korea as well. They've said that Mike Pompeo, the U.S. Secretary of State, is saying that they would like to allow opportunities for private American investment in energy, agriculture and infrastructure. Do you think that this will be openly welcome in North Korea?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We remember that the Chinese economic miracle started in 1979 when the United States opened its embassy in Beijing and full diplomatic recognition was extended to People's Republic of China. So without American recognition, there wouldn't have been the Chinese economic miracles. And of course, the international community would not start trading with North Korea unless it is, if not fully diplomatically recognized, at least the sanctions partially or fully lifted. And that's what North Korea is asking for. Without it, North Korean economy will never take off. Mike Pompeo was very open towards the North Korean leader when they met last week. So saying that if North Korea follows the denuclearization pattern and focuses on its economy, the United States will do everything possible to make its economic development strong, and even living standards of North Korean people might even rival their brothers and sisters in the South.
Do you think that this kind of investment is something that Australians will be, or Australia as a whole will be interested in as well?
Absolutely. North Korea is a mountainous country. The mining industry is very strong. North Korea is sitting on trillions of dollars worth of natural resources, particularly rare earth metals, high-quality coal, iron ore, lead, tungsten. And Australian mining industry, and particularly machinery, which is created and exported by Australians, would find a very lucrative market in North Korea.
Given that Australia's biggest exports are coal and iron ore, do you think that this would disrupt the Australian market by opening up those channels?
North Korea has a particular type of coal, the anthracite coal. They have high-quality iron ore. I think it's slightly different in its chemical structure from what Australia is offering to the international market. Yes, there potentially might be some competition, but I think that North Korean coal will stay mostly for domestic and regional consumption.
Dr. Leonid Petrov, visiting fellow at the College of Asia and the Pacific at the Australian National University, ending that report by Ollie Henderson.